The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. We are here for the second hour, and we're glad that you've decided to come along. Lee is up next in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Lee. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. One thing I wanted to mention was I'm a huge Florida Gator fan, and I'm being very selfish about this, I know, but I think it's a dream come true that the SEC is only playing an SEC schedule, that each team's going to have two more SEC teams on their schedule from the other division. You know, and Florida, for instance, I think it's going to have Alabama and possibly Texas A&M. But the thing is, I didn't know if you thought that if this is a rousing success this year, if you think the SEC might go to where they played more games in conference and play fewer games out of conference.
I don't think they'll change, but sometimes you do, Lee, have to experience it to understand it. The SEC has been resistant for one specific reason to adding a ninth conference game. It hurts the middle to lower division teams get into bowl games, and that is critically important to at least maintain some self-worth. If you're more of a bottom dweller and you're fighting for that fifth or sixth win every year, bowl games matter. You get 15 more practices. It can help careers. Now, it doesn't affect anyone who's in the upper echelon, but that's not what we're talking about here.
No, I understand, but let's face it, if the Florida Gators were to play Alabama, Texas A&M, Auburn from the West, that's a dream come true.
I mean, listen, I work for a sports television network. You think I'd rather see on ESPN Saturday night Florida and Alabama or Florida and Valdosta State?
Very true. That's completely understandable. So I'm glad that I just haven't heard anybody speak about this. And I just thought that it was...
No, I'm glad you did. And by the way, I have nothing against Valdosta State. I'm just making a point that even your worst conference game, and I'll be honest, there can be some pretty average games, is going to be better than one of these mismatches that, you know, usually it's either the first week or the next to the last week. Schools like Florida play unwatchable games. I mean, you and I, we've had these conversations a million times. They're great for taking your seven-year-old who's going to start yawning in the second quarter, and then you can take him home.
Yeah, and they're great also for setting school records, things of
that nature. Hey, I have friends who played college football, and they look at me like, are you out of your mind? Those are great. We call those stat games.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I know, because I played college ball, so I understand exactly how it is. But being a football purist, I would love to see it go like this.
No, but I agree. I would too, but I don't think we're going to get it's hard to listen. Any predictions right now about even what's going to happen tomorrow are futile. Is our next guest. I can predict accurately that you will be on.
Absolutely, and I'm always here because when you say I'm up next, I always say something. I mean, it ain't, you don't hear the TV in the background. And you don't hear me like that fellow over, what was that guy that used to call it? Hey, Mommer, I'm on TV. Y'all turn it down. You know, you don't get that from me. You know, Paul, I don't know who's doing your camera work today, but it looked like somebody might have worked on the Hubble before it ever got fixed. I mean, somebody needs to go in there. You need to get the missus to go in there and tell her, treat it like a microscope. Just look
in there. So are you saying it's fuzzy?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit fuzzy.
You know, it's funny. I started doing some stuff early this morning for ESPN. I've had because of the news. Every time I connect, they tell me I'm out of focus. I'm like, going, what else do I need to do? I'm better. I look better out of focus.
Well, you're the grip. You're the camera guy. You're the card guy. Everything right there, right?
Well, I mean, that's how that's the new normal. I show up. I turn the lights on. I turn the camera on, I focus it, and I don't know why this camera doesn't work. I bought it the other day at a CVS.
Did you get a pair of them tack glasses with
it? I did.
Ones that
I did.
Where you get the Fu Manchu and you get that little grit going on, and you can see better. You can see day and night. Guess what? You get a second pair free. You know, I love those commercials. Where do they get that guy with that little grit in his teeth? You know, Paul, I'm hearing everybody calling in with all these demands and telling people, you know, we're just fans and we want things back to normal. But we're not. This is the new normal, and we're not going to get what we want. And somebody was telling me today, you know, the show seems to be different with all these callers from around the country. And the callers around the country, they don't understand the show. They think this is a call-in show and they talk sports. And they didn't hear as it was becoming what it was, that you can relax a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. Take a breath. Just calm down. And then holler like hell when you want to. I mean, it's okay. Be Brando. You know, I created ESPN. I was there forever. I mean, you can calm down, and it'll be okay. And you know, why are we worrying about if a quarterback at Clemson gets sick? Are they going to count that against their record? You think they're going to count that against her? You know, you play with what you got. With what's going on right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't wrap your damn head, that's what you're doing at home. You're doing what you got. You're working with what you got. That's what the season's going to be, if there is a season.
Yeah, I agree. We had a call earlier. You know, somebody was really upset about what the schedules could come out with. Who cares?
It doesn't matter. If they play, period, that's a plus. And if they happen to get through the season, that's even better. But I think you have your doubts about the season, don't you? I know you want the
season. Well, I don't know how you let's just be pragmatic about this for a second. The people in charge of this conference have just announced that the season will start on September 26th. I mean, what else do I need to say?
That's it. That's all you know. That's all they know. And what did everybody around the country just about end their statements with? It depends on the medical issues.
Yeah, I mean, if they had said we're starting the season September 5th, I would have said we're a month away. We're having a season.
And that's what we're hoping for. And you know, if let me ask you something. I was hearing them talking about you only get two captains. You only get one captain per team to go out on the coin toss. Who the hell cares if anybody goes? Flip the damn coin. You kicking and you receiving. That's it. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Just think about it for a second. You're a longtime veteran of this show, and people say, well, Yak, you don't want to see the season. Can you imagine if tomorrow the season was canceled? What the next 9 months are going to be like on the Bible study show here?
Oh, it would be doom and gloom. I mean, Jim would come on here prophesizing. We'd be getting ready for a flood and a fire and dinosaurs.
Yeah. We would start loading callers two by two on the ark.
And I tell you what, Paul, there's some of these guys that are in twos we're leaving behind. You hear me? We're leaving them here. We're telling them we're leaving tomorrow, but we're leaving tonight. Now, Paul Feinbaum, I want you to have a great day, and I want you to know one thing before I hang up. I'm calling you every day for the rest of your natural life or mine, whichever comes first.
I'll be around a long time, my man. I've got a new heart. Terry is up next. How are you, Terry?
Fine. How about you?
I'm great. Thank you.
What I'd like to know is why are people worried about all this stuff? I'm worried about the young kids. You know, they're just kids out there, and we're trying to play ball as much as I love football. But I sure don't want to see nobody get hurt with this stuff. How about you, Paul?
I don't want to see one person get sick, frankly. And I know that's unrealistic, but it does bother me when somebody says, well, just tell them all to get it. Maybe I listen to too many doctors, but I would say the majority are going to be perfectly fine. But that one out there who gets it that may kill somebody else or may kill him because he's got some precondition that we've never seen before, that concerns me a little bit, yes.
It does me too, Paul. I had a sister-in-law pass for this a couple of days ago. And they're worried about football. Much as I love going down to Tuscaloosa football games, I just want to see the kids and everybody okay. That's my main goal to football. Much as I love it, but that's my goal is not let people get hurt for this stuff.
I totally agree. Well, I appreciate the call, and I understand it's inevitable. You put a bunch of people together, there is a risk of infection. I mean, that goes without saying. But you know, it's a risk that a lot of people are certainly willing to take. But on the other hand, let's not do anything we don't have to do and make anybody sick that doesn't need to be sick. We are heading to a break. Appreciate the call. Tim Brando in the next hour. We have guests later this hour, and we are back after this.
You are listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. And we heard the commissioner say the other day that they are watching every single professional sports, trying to learn from the MLB to the NFL. And some more tough news coming into just this moment from Major League Baseball. The Cardinals continue to have problems as the series with the Tigers has now been postponed. That's a 4-game series. The Cardinals have had 13 members of the organization test positive for COVID in the last week, including 7 players and 6 staff people. It continues to be a problem, to say the least. Let's talk to Wayne, who is in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, howdy, toddy. I was just calling about that Andre from Atlanta. Yeah, I called. He said, people have a hard time changing. And then he mentioned, as California and New York go, so does the rest of America. So he mentioned San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, New York, I think. And then he talked about legalizing pot. But what I was wondering, what does he mean by change? What they're doing is saying California is assaulting police officers, throwing frozen bottles of water at police officers, pulling down statues. And so I'm supposed to get on there. He said, get on the train or get left behind. So I don't understand what he means by all that. Is he encouraging violence?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but I will ask him the next time he calls in. Mike is in Macon, Georgia, and you're on the air. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. Paul, I'll be quick. I love your show. I have, always scheduled even my doctor's appointments around it from, the time you came on the air. Okay? Now, I know I'm a newbie because I started watching you then. But this is the thing. For the first time in 2 months, today, I was excited about watching your show because on Friday, it was a great, interesting show. And even if it was only mostly about scheduling, at least we were talking about football in the SEC. And today, we're right back on all that last call explains it all. We're right back on the social issue stuff. And, Paul, at some point, we kind of just get back and talk about football. I want to know what, the running back for Georgia is going to do against the middle linebacker from Alabama. That's what I want to talk about.
Well, Mike, I think we all do. But the biggest story of today was the fact that more than 400 players in college football are threatening a boycott. So it's hard to ignore that and chisel down to position matchups for a season that is still 7 weeks off.
Well, you're right, Paul. I admire you. You've influenced my life a lot, and I'm just saying, I'll just be glad. Hopefully,
I think what you say is very representative. And in all fairness, there are a lot of programs in this country who are doing exactly what you prescribed there. Our challenge here, because we do have a national platform, is to try to incorporate the news of the day and also have some fun. And we have Tim Brando on in about an hour. And if you want to ask Tim about matchups, go right ahead. He's capable and qualified as much as anybody in the country. But we simply follow the story of the day, and the story of this day in college football is upheaval. It's you have a potential strike from one of the Power Five conferences. You have another conference about to put out a schedule. You have the SEC, which we're hoping to learn more about what they plan to do soon. We haven't heard that yet. So, I mean, I am a talk show host. I've done this for a considerably long period of time, and never before on August 3rd of any year have we sat around and talked about the things we're talking about.
Well, Paul, before, I mean, occasionally, like in the past, okay, in the good old days, all right, you would occasionally let a few political comments come in or a few social comments come in. But, I mean, mostly you kept it, like, straight to football. And I realize that's not what can happen right now, okay?
I hear you. I really do, Mike. I mean, but I will also say, and I'm not defending it because I sympathize with you, but, I mean, we're there's nothing normal about anything right now. And I know a lot of people come to this program for refuge and to get away from whatever's happening on the cable channels, which, you know, quite frankly, gets pretty disturbing.
Exactly.
I will say this to you. I'll talk about anything on this program, and you know, if you want to call tomorrow and talk about how Georgia matches up against Alabama, let's do it.
Okay, sir. Well, again, I wasn't trying to be negative, Bob.
No,
I admire you so much. You got a great show. Anyway, I'm just a little frustrated. That's
well, I hear it. I mean, I understand the frustration because by the way, Andre is calling, and he was criticized a minute ago by somebody, and I want to give him a chance to respond. Go ahead, Andre.
First and foremost, Coach, when I mean change, I mean social change. I don't believe in this violence. You know, first and foremost, we need police officers. We need. The problem with police officers is not that the police officers are bad. You got bad apples everywhere. But the problem with police officers is you have the good apple because of what they call the code of silence will protect the bad apple. Well, I don't believe in this violence and all this stuff going on around the country. But when it comes down to social change, like lesbian and gay marriage and homosexual lifestyle, and also when it comes down to things like get in it, the marijuana law, Coach, that comes from the coastline and it pulls the rest of the country along. But as far as this violent protest and stuff, I don't support that and I don't believe in that. And I would never advocate that. But hey, listen, for a long time, the tail was wagging the dog with these college coaches and all the power. Now this thing is flipped over and the dog is wagging the tail. These athletes have the power and they're going to use it.
Well, and you know something, like Andre, I'm not trying to paint a broad brush here, but I hear a lot of frustration from the callers because we are entering a new era and it's going to be distasteful for a number of people. Because it is the antithesis of the way it is normally done in college athletics. But I've said it repeatedly, and I know you've heard me. What happened in the past, even what happened 3 months ago, is not what's happening today. And those coaches who fail to adapt are going to get run over and run out of the business.
Coach, you're saying it. You're preaching it. It is what it is. I don't like it. These coaches were like sheriff deputies in the South. They're all powerful. But those days are over with, Coach. And a lot of coaches, like you said, they can either get on board or they're going to get ran out. You're not going to be able to recruit. Because if people hear that, if you're playing for someone like Bo Schembechler or Earl Bruce or Bobby Knight, the word gets out, you can't recruit. The kids won't play for you. And then you're going to have a losing record. And the alumni are going to want change. And they don't start with the players. They fire coaches for losing records. Thanks, Coach. But that's all I wanted to say.
So glad to hear from you. We are going to take a break from all this and have a couple of guests on. Have a guest on here in a minute. Tim Brando, 30 minutes away. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. And our next guest should be familiar to some of you. During our New York days in the fall, he would occasionally drop by our Seaport studio there, and it's so great to welcome back Richard Johnson to the program. And he's part of a group, including our good friend Spencer Hall, who has a book out entitled The Sinful Seven, a sci-fi western legends of the NCAA. It could be about what's currently going on right now. Anyway, Richard Johnson, welcome back to the program. We miss you, and hope you are well.
Paul, it's good to be back.
Well, it's so much has changed. The world has about come to an end since we last saw you. But don't let that affect a good interview. How are you? And tell us about this project that you've been involved with.
I'm doing well, Paul. As you said, we put a little book out. It's called Sinful Sevens, Sci-Fi Western Legends of the NCAA. Look, if college football and college sports explain America, then this book explains college sports. So I guess this book explains America. A few months ago, me and four out of the five people that I collaborated with on this book were furloughed from our now current job at Vox Media. And we got together and we said, you know, what are we going to do to pass our time? And so the four of us, myself, Jason Kirk, Alex Kirshner, Spencer Hall, and a very intelligent ad in Tyson Whiting, who did all of our illustrations for this book, got together and started kicking around how we could do a pretty wide sweeping project about college sports. And Spencer, in his infinite creative wisdom, said, well, why don't we do just a Western? We always talk about college sports as the Wild West. Why don't we just do it? And so we did it. I would not recommend anybody go out there and try to write a book in roughly 11 weeks. You're not going to sleep much. But when you do it with some brilliant creative guys that I've been blessed to be able to do it with these last 3 months, you're going to come out with something special. And I'm proud of this work, and I'm proud of this book, and I'm proud of a lot of the different ways we were able to, like I said, explain college sports. We explain the NCAA's formation and its complete and total kind of arc from just a player safety organization when Teddy Roosevelt convened it in the early 1900s to what it is now, which is an absolute mega brand that runs one of the most beloved sporting events in the United States of America that will soon make $1 billion per year for its members. We talk about that. And then we also have a section where we talk about, issues of race in our society and the issues of naming of streets and buildings and statues. And so, yeah, it's pretty timely because we get in the weeds there and we talk about how those things are a front-facing reflection of what we wish to glorify in society. And that weight demands a constant measurement. And we use the story of the former Iowa State player Jack Trice to tell that tale and to explain some of those things. So the book, it's a lot. It is half fiction, it's half nonfiction. We built a world that we've dropped these very real stories about college athletics into. We both explain them in a nonfiction way and then take you to this fiction world and show you how we're able to weave all these things together. Just like I said, I'm really proud of this work, and I cannot wait for more and more people to experience it and to come along for the ride with us.
Well, I hope they do. And Richard, congratulations. And I know a few of your colleagues, and they're all extraordinarily talented. Before we lose sight of the story of the day, I do want to get your thoughts on what is happening right now, especially with the Pac-12 players talking about boycotting. There are issues across this country. You, as someone who writes, talks about all of this and follows it very closely, what do you think?
Well, look, Paul, this country, beyond college sports, this country is reaping what it has sown in the last 4 years, the last 40 years, the last 400 years. And as it pertains to these athletes in Pac-12 who released their letter yesterday, you can go back about 4 or 5 years to there was a group of players at Michigan, a group of players at Nebraska, who in the wake of Colin Kaepernick's kneeling during the national anthem, took it upon themselves to do the same. The Nebraska players, led by Michael Rose Ivy, a former linebacker there, they knelt during the national anthem at a Northwestern game. Michigan, they had raised fists. Symbol of black power and symbols of unity. So this has been happening for the last 3 or 4 years since Colin Kaepernick took his stance, and these players are following in those footsteps. But at the end of the day, if you expect these players to, as it was so uneloquently put, shut up and dribble, those days are over. That time is done. These players understand, not only understand, because players who have come in the generations before them see the inequities in the system, but they are now taking their platform, social media, what have you, and voicing it. A lot of these players haven't spoken to a media member in months. I mean, some of them go back March, February since they talked to a reporter, but they're using their voice and their platforms to say what they feel. And that letter goes far beyond issues of compensation. There's talk about safety in there and all those sorts of things. It is a holistic account of what these players feel like need to be addressed as we go into what is going to be one of the wildest college football seasons that we've ever seen. But at the end of the day, if nothing happens, if nothing moves, in 20 years, in 30 years, they'll be able to say to their children and their children's children, when we audit the summer of 2020, what did we do for the plight of ourselves, for the plight of people that look like us, for the plight of people who are disadvantaged? And those players can sit proudly and say, we spoke out when we had a platform. Because not all of them are going to go to the NFL. Not many of them are going to go to the NFL. This is maybe the most famous that they will ever be. And they have used their stance to speak out about what matters to them. And that is so important. Beyond if the change happens, it is so important to kind of wrap your arms around the agency that you have when you have it and use it as a force for good.
Richard, listen, I'm glad you haven't listened to some of the show today because there has been a lot of pushback. You know the show well, of course. But I ask you this. It's one thing to say what they have said, and I think it is historic. But what happens now? What do you hear out there, and what do you expect?
Well, I think you play this out, and this is the opening to a negotiation. I don't know whether these young men will end up walking out or end up boycotting or anything like that, but if nothing else, this is kind of the first step in a negotiation. And during a negotiation, as we've seen with, you know, the players' unions in the professional sports, things get said, and it is part of talks, and it's part of trying to develop leverage and all those sort of things, the things that a party should seek to do in a negotiation, particularly when that party does not have the power of the conference commissioners and the coaches and stuff like that. I mean, we've all, I'm sure, heard the conversation that Nick Rolovich had with the young man who was opting out because of COVID, and then Nick Rolovich brings up the Pac-12 movement. Like, that's what these guys are up against, and that's just one example. And that is why I think that these players speaking out is such a big deal, and pushing back and not just kind of letting these very, very overarching issues and scary issues about the unknown of this season go by the wayside. They're saying, hey, no, like, you need to listen to us. You need to hear us out. We saw with the Washington Post article by Robert Klemko over the weekend that showed what was happening with the SEC in a conference call between a lot of those players. Those players did the same exact thing. You know, you don't have to like it. You don't even really have to respect it, but that doesn't matter. These players are still going to use their voice to talk, to assert the things that they feel are important to them. And that's just the way it is.
Richard Johnson, always great to talk to you. I hope we're back in New York one of these days before they cancel this show. But congratulations on the book, and I hope people will get it. I'm assuming it's available wherever books are available.
Wherever ebooks are available, but sinful7.com, the word seven written out, sinful7.com is where anybody can pick it up for any of your mobile devices, your Kindles, your iPads, what have you, to get this.
All the best. Come back soon.
Thanks, Paul.
You bet. Richard Johnson joining us. As we head to the break, Tim Brando at the top of the hour, there is some breaking news from Evanston, Illinois. Northwestern has paused its workout after players have tested positive for COVID. I believe it's the 15th or 16th FBS school that has shut down, at least temporarily. Meanwhile, many with four times the amount of positives continue to practice. We will take a break. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back to the program, and as we mentioned going to the break, there is some breaking news. Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune, Northwestern pauses workouts after player tests for positive. I don't know if that's a single player or many. I can tell you there are SEC teams right now that have multiple players sitting out, but not a single SEC team has paused, if my memory is correct. That is the sixth Big Ten team, according to reports, that has at least temporarily paused workouts. Let's get back. By the way, Tim Brando joining us in a couple of minutes, and we are going to take your phone calls for Tim. So I know that there are some people on hold, but if you want to call specifically for Tim during the 5 o'clock hour, I would strongly encourage you to do it now because it's going to be hard to get in. 855-242-7285. Let's continue, and Freddie is up next. Hey, Freddie. Well, actually, Freddie is not up next any longer. How about Ron in Florida? Ron, go right ahead.
Hey, what's up, bud? How you been, man?
I have been great. I hope you have.
I have been awesome, man. I'm just, like, honestly listening to what I'm hearing. I'm hoping we have a season, but with the NCAA being who they are, I'm pretty sure they're not going to allow that money just to go to waste like that without us having a season. Somehow or another, I'm pretty sure they're going to do what we need done with the players or whatever's going on for us to have a season. I don't know what's wrong with Northwestern, though, and the big, I don't know what's wrong with them.
Well, I mean, what happens, and every program is different. According to a report, this is the 29th Division I athletic department to shut. I know that there are some programs, and we all know, Clemson announced they had 30 or 40 positive tests. They never missed a workout. Other programs have different protocols, and if they have one player tested, they shut down. I'll stay out of that conversation. I'll leave it to the medical personnel. It seems like the Big Ten has a more stringent requirements okay. In terms of shutting down.
But with them saying postpone like that, I mean.
Well, what that means is that they are simply not going to practice for a couple of days until they get a handle on the outbreak.
With that being said, you know, we had this thing, Tennessee's thinking they're going to come back. I don't know, maybe you might want to do later on if we can figure out something. if we have a season, because I'm pretty confident this year with the Gators. Just letting you know, I mean, you know, this is our third year. We had the first two rebuilding. It's go time this year, Paul.
You know, I hear a lot of people saying the same thing. And once I see the schedule, which we have not yet, I may agree with you. Thanks for the call. Shaw is up next in Georgia. Hello, Shaw.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? Look here,
it's going great.
Thank you, sir. I was just wondering about what you think about the situation might be with Georgia now with the two new quarterbacks and this extended time to warm up. It's sort of like giving them a spring practice to get this thing figured
out.
You're
right. And certainly Jamie Newman needed the extra time. And you know, I think Georgia's quarterback backfield is about as good as anybody's. I mean, that was a tremendous break getting the waiver lifted.
I think they're lucky on the thing. I was really worried about that position, but it seems like we got two guys there. Other than knowing what the schedule is going to be, I think they're looking pretty good on that. So hopefully it works out for them.
I totally agree. Well, hey, thank you very much. Again, if you want to call for Brando, the calls are starting to line up. And it's going to be a popular segment, I can assure you. Bob is up next in West Virginia. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing great.
Hey, I got to tell you, first of all, I'll tell you why I'm sick and tired in a second. But first of all, if they don't have a college football season because of the pandemic and the virus and stuff, everybody would understand that. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody would complain, the fans or anybody. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I'm not sure I agree with you,
we would understand that. What I'm sick of is this stuff all the time. It's opt and out stuff. If they don't want to play, Paul, if they want to opt out and don't play, then just don't play. Because eventually the fans, all the good players opt out and they want money for this and money for that, but all the guys in the Pac-12 want, the fans will just quit watching eventually. I mean, we're going to live without football.
You sure?
I think so, Paul.
I'm not sure.
I really get tired. I'm just like the NFL, too. I think they're going to play. If you want to opt out, then just opt out.
Bob, I am not representing the players. They have legitimate complaints about health and safety, which is fine.
I understand that.
They're not going to get a share of the revenues. I mean, college athletics is under assault anyway right now. I think, as somebody said a minute ago, it's a negotiation. They want to be heard. What you know and what I know is this is a sign of the times, and you and I may not like it, or we may like it, but it's 2020.
I know.
And I can't. We're only halfway done with the year.
And hey, one more little cue, guys. We're going. I can get to you Friday about the band. The guy going about the band. You know.
Oh yeah.
Try to jump on you, Paul. I understand that the bands are good for conditions, but you're only good if the fans are there. I mean, there's probably not going to be any fans if they do have football.
I made a mistake. I said I don't think anybody's too surprised by that. And now I have every tuba player in America coming after me.
Well, I didn't think about it at all. What they knew, there wasn't no fans. There surely wasn't going to be no fans. We have no fans here in high school football.
I think if we move to the next phase, which I think we're heading, there are going to be a lot of people who are not where they normally were. Me included, by the way. They're not letting me hang around the too many press boxes this fall, probably, but that's okay.
I agree with you, Paul.
We'll figure it out. As long as we can get to the start kickoff, I think most of us will be happy. Hey, thank you for the call. Again, let me remind you, Brando coming up next. He's given us some time on a Monday. We are going to let you. Everybody wants to criticize the show. Fine. This is your chance to talk to Brando about anything you would like. I'm going to go out and smoke a cigarette during the Brando segment. We will be back with Tim Brando after this.